Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
I think we accidentally summoned a spirit in the woods by Diordan 99. This takes place in November 2022. At the time, I had drawn a special elk tag in the Beaverhead Mountain Range in central eastern Ohio. I had hunted in this area many times before over the years, and I knew the area like the back of my hand. It had become a place of comfort and good memories. It still is, but I haven't looked at it the same since the story I'm about to tell. I planned a week-long trip for the first week of November and took one of my best friends with me. We spent the first 4 days hiking up and down various ridges, chasing elk, and having a blast. The nights were spent storytelling and eating soup by the stove, mind you. It was November in Idaho, so it was very cold. It was the fourth night of the trip. It had snowed during the day, and a fresh layer of snow lay on the ground. The sky had since cleared up, and a very cold but still and quiet air had settled in. My friend and I had gotten into a deep discussion about the Bible, spirits, cryptids, skinwalkers, etc. I should note that at the time, my friend had been experiencing a decline in his mental health, and it was not uncommon for him to sometimes behave erratically. This will be relevant for later in the story. During this conversation, I felt an intense fear settle on me. It almost felt like the air had become tense. I had the urge to change the discussion to something else, but that's when it happened. Within 20 or 30 yards of the tent, what I thought at first was a coyote began yipping and barking very loudly. I looked at my friend, who became excited and told me to grab my gun so that we could go look for this thing. It was strange, though, and something didn't feel right. The animal, whatever it was, didn't exactly sound like a coyote. It almost shrieked, as opposed to yipping the way that a coyote does. And it would occasionally bark, and at times almost scream. I'm also an experienced outdoorsman, and any hunter knows a coyote would not approach a tent in the middle of nowhere and draw attention to itself. It would continue to vocalize for about 3 to 5 minutes at a time, circling the tent from a distance. I reluctantly grabbed my rifle and my spotlight, a very bright, intense flashlight, and started looking for this thing. As I stepped about 10 yards away from the tent, I heard it again, directly in front of me, shrieking and barking. I shined my light directly at it. I could see probably 200 yards in front of me, yet nothing was there. No eyes shining in the light. No outline of an animal or person. There was nothing. After repeating this same scenario 3 or 4 times, we gave up and went back to the tent to warm up. But the sound didn't stop. At one point, when it went silent, my friend poked his head out of the tent and yelled, "Hey, shut up!" He was immediately answered with a scream from the animal. At times, it sounded like it came from above the tent, in the tree that we camped under. I tried playing it off as a coyote, or maybe a hunting dog that got lost, but I could not convince myself that it was either of those. We ignored it for the rest of the time. It slowly started going further and further away from the tent until it finally stopped about an hour or so later. The next morning, I looked around the area for tracks, yet to my surprise, I found nothing but our own. We didn't talk about it for the rest of the trip, and a few days later, we went home. Now, I don't know if this is all related, but about 3 months after this, my friend had a complete mental breakdown and has since never been on a hunting trip. Some of his family, a very religious family, questioned whether he was the victim of some kind of spiritual attack or something of that nature. I didn't correlate the two at the time, but in hindsight, I had so many questions about that night. Is it a coincidence that whatever that animal was appeared during that particular conversation? Could it have actually been a coyote or wolf? Why couldn't I see any eyes gleaming with the flashlight? Did this incident have something to do with my friend's mental decline? My friend would sometimes tell me and others about strange things that he saw or heard. Was this related? If anyone has anything to point out, please share.
The Story of George by Blackbird. I'm a 27-year-old woman, and I've known for most of my life that I'm incredibly sensitive to the paranormal. I even have a level of clairvoyance that has only gotten stronger since I started practicing as a witch. It was in my younger years when I first saw George. The story of how George became attached to my family needs a little backstory. I get my sensitivity to spirits from my mother, who has always been so open to them that they'll often mess with her. According to her, George first came to us one night long before I was born. She and her best friend, who would later become my godmother, were messing around with a Ouija board late one night. Admittedly, not the smartest decision. I don't know if they received any messages that night, but something strange and tragic happened. While they were at her friend's house, they suddenly heard a loud bang. When they went to investigate, they found her friend's cat dead. They were the only ones at the house at the time. After that incident, a much friendlier spirit began following my mom around. Because the cat's name had been Jorge, pronounced the Spanish way, she decided to call the spirit George. I was in elementary school when I saw George for the first time. My younger siblings were out with my stepfather, so it was just me and my mom at home. I was in the living room watching cartoons when an older man wearing brown pants, a brown vest, and a matching hat crossed from the hallway next to the living room and into the kitchen. Curious, because I'd never seen this man before, I went into the kitchen to see who it was. But as you can imagine, the kitchen was completely empty. I knew what ghosts were by this point. This was coming from the kid who yelled at my mom for starting a Freddy Krueger marathon without me in kindergarten. But seeing this was terrifying. I ran to my mom's room and told her what I saw. That's when she reassured me and explained who George was. Apparently, after the cat incident, George started to appear whenever something was wrong or needed her attention. He had even warned her about high fevers my siblings and I had suffered when we were younger and kept watch over us. After that first encounter, I saw him more often. He would check in on us regularly. My mom always said I had a stronger connection to him than she did. She'd only ever seen him as a shadowy figure, never as a full apparition. The most memorable encounter with George happened when I was in middle school. It was just after the first bell rang, and everyone was filing inside the school building. Through the crowd, I caught a glimpse of his signature vest and hat before losing sight of him again. I knew it was him. No one else was that tall, and it was such a distinct look. At the time, I didn't think much of it, but in hindsight, I realized it was a warning. The very next day, I was riding my bike around the neighborhood, enjoying the crisp fall air, when a car came barreling down the street. It was going way too fast for a residential area, and I froze. I should have been hit. I wasn't moving fast enough to avoid it. But then, I felt a hand shove the seat of my bike forward, pushing me out of harm's way, just in time. Instead of being hit, I ended up running into a tree. I was shaken but uninjured except for a few bruises. The car, of course, didn't stop. After that, I haven't seen much of George, but I know he's still around, watching, protecting us.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Odd Memory from Childhood That Couldn't Have Happened by PMW, 1981. So I was talking with my mom the other day about memories of childhood and all the goofy stuff that happened. Everything was cool until I brought up a memory of my grandpa, her dad, doing repairs on his old house. It was two stories with a basement, and I told her how I remembered Grandpa tearing out the stairs going to the second story because the steps were really bad. She gave me a funny look, and when I asked why, she replied, "You hadn't been born yet. Dad fixed those steps about a month before I had you. I know because he painted the new steps with a gloss paint and didn't put any grip tape down. That's why I slipped and fell a week before you were born." She asked for details, and I laid it all out. How I watched Grandpa working on the steps, the big hole that went straight down into the basement, even the signs and bungee cord that he used to close off the doorway so that nobody would get hurt. I described the exact layout of the living room and how he had to move some furniture to make the space work. I even remembered him and my uncle measuring and sawing boards on the porch for the steps. Somehow, I even recalled crawling up the steps before they got fixed and pinched my hands or feet by the cracked, warped wood. It was definitely surreal, and neither of us knows how it could be possible. I know for sure it wasn't a dream. It was just too detailed and vivid. I probably have more memories like that, but this one has always stuck out. She even confirmed that Grandpa only ever fixed the stairs once, after I asked if he had to redo them when I was little. So did I somehow witness an alternate timeline or universe from the womb? Thank you.
The Ghost Wanted a Shave by Trisha. To start, let me give a little background. I'm 22 and have lived in the same trailer my whole life with my dad. I've always been a believer in the paranormal, especially after watching the Discovery Channel. Every time I got caught watching Ghost Adventures, my dad would just sigh dramatically and roll his eyes. I've heard all the usual bumps in the night, and doors that were closed would sometimes be found open. But there was only one incident that finally made my dad admit we might not be the only souls in the house. It happened about a year ago, on a weekend. My boyfriend and I were up late playing video games and messing around when I heard this vibrating sound. It wasn't like the usual creaks and bumps you hear at night. This was different. Being the only two people in the house, I poked my head out of my room, and the noise seemed to be coming from the opposite side of the house, in my dad's room. We were already hyped up from our losing streak on Call of Duty, so our senses were on high alert. My boyfriend grabbed the closest weapon, a sword, and we stalked down the hallway like we were going into battle. We checked the living room, the kitchen, the dining room. Nothing out of the ordinary, just pure darkness. Then we stopped outside the doorway to my dad's room. The vibrating sound was louder now, coming from inside. My first thought was, what if it's the water heater? Did something break? I have the worst luck with things going wrong while my dad's away, and he of course always thinks I've been messing around and broke something. For context, the water heater is located in his closet. I was so determined to figure out what was going on, so I took a big step into the blackness of this room, basically just on autopilot. I hate the dark, so my first instinct was to yank on the overhead fan to turn on the light. Big mistake. There were no lights in the room. I had to fight the urge to pull the entire ceiling fan down out of frustration, so I just retreated to the doorway where my boyfriend stood, still gripping the sword like he was in a horror movie. The only light switch that worked was for the bathroom light, all the way across the room. What if there's someone hiding in the closet or by the bed? My boyfriend pointed out, just as I was about to sprint for the light. Then come with me, I hissed through my teeth. Part of me was worried that something was broken, but the other part of me was worried there might actually be someone lurking in the dark. And in the back of my brain, a thought popped up. It sounds like an electric razor. Hand in hand, we walked into the room, creeping toward the bathroom light switch. When we got there, I slammed every button. I didn't care if I turned on the vent, the fan, or the whole house for that matter. I just needed some light. Finally, the room lit up, and I turned to the closet. The noise wasn't coming from there, though. Instead, it was coming from his electric razor, sitting upright in its charging holder. I grabbed it, flipped the button to turn it off, and slammed it back into the charger. My boyfriend and I stared at each other, wide-eyed, like, did we really freak out over a razor? I still had my phone flashlight on, so I quickly texted my dad, not funny leaving your razor on. Then we headed back to our room, laughing it off and playing video games for the rest of the night. The next morning, my dad texted me back. He was like, I haven't used my razor at all this week. Cue the mental gymnastics I had to do to figure out who or what turned on the razor. When my dad got back home, I told him everything. He just shrugged and said, well, that's spooky. Maybe he just wanted to shave. For once, he didn't have a logical explanation or try to blame it on me for watching too many ghost shows. That's the only time my dad has ever admitted that something strange might have actually happened.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tate's Hell Forest Encounter by Percent 77. An ex-girlfriend and I were late getting to Tate's Hell State Forest in Florida back in May 2021. It was around 11 p.m., dark out, and we were driving down an unimproved road for about 30 minutes. We then followed the GPS down a very narrow trail. I was driving a mid-sized truck, and the branches on either side of the truck were constantly scraping. As we were driving slowly due to the ruts and puddles, we saw something emerge from the left-hand side of the trail. It crossed, stopped, looked back at the truck, and then disappeared into the woods on the right-hand side of the trail. The whole encounter lasted maybe 4 to 5 seconds. It was on two legs. It was so out of place because of the location. It was 40 minutes outside civilization and improved roads. Also, the conditions were so bad, and it was late. I can't begin to describe the marsh-like conditions that we were driving through for this bipedal thing to just traverse with such ease. Its arms swung as it walked, its eyes reflected the headlights, and its body stood powerfully tall. The details of its skin or fur are a bit harder to describe due to the sprinkling rain and the 15-foot distance. However, it had very dark skin or fur. The biggest part of the story is definitely the fact that we were on the wrong trail. We got stuck on the trail just a few yards from where we saw this thing, and as I fearfully got out of the truck to dig my tires out, nothing happened to us. I was exposed out of my element, wet, knee-deep in mud, and alone outside the truck. I struggled for 30 minutes and could have easily been harmed or approached. However, nothing ever happened. A tow truck rescued us at 2 a.m., and we gladly booked a hotel room for the night as we were extremely scared. The locals laughed it off. However, you know what you are seeing when it's right in front of you.
Bunny Man's Story by Turbo. I recently recalled a strange experience my sister and I had as kids. When I went looking for information about it online, I found out that other people have had similar experiences. A Reddit post brought me to your podcast, and you were wondering if the Bunny Man was a cryptid of sorts. Well, let me tell you about my experience. I was about 10 years old and my sister was about 7, so this would have happened in around 1993. We lived in a very rural area, out in the country in Alabama. Our nearest neighbor was maybe an eighth of a mile in any direction. One day, my sister and I were playing outside. It was broad daylight, and for some reason, we were near the top of our long gravel driveway. It kind of sat up on a slope. But at the bottom of the driveway, we both saw this large, solid white rabbit. When I say large, I mean it looked to be the size of an adult male, perhaps 6 feet tall or more. Especially to us kids, it looked massive. This is one of my most vivid memories, and I remember it like it was yesterday. The rabbit was actually hopping, not walking. It had its back turned to us, so all we ever saw was its back. It paused for just a moment, though, turned its head, and looked directly at us. Then it hopped away into the woods. I remember that one of its ears stood straight up, while the other ear was floppy and bent over. I can't recall if it was wearing clothes, but I want to say it was just solid white. I remember thinking at the time that it must have been my grandfather dressed in an Easter Bunny costume, but my grandparents lived 20 miles away. And later in life, I asked him about it. He had no idea what I was talking about. To this day, my sister remembers seeing it too. It's something neither of us will ever forget. We can't make sense of it. Could that have been the Bunny Man?
The Tall Stick Entity by Daughter of Saturn 13. I want to share a truly bizarre, terrifying, and unexplainable experience I had while growing up. My childhood home was a hotbed for paranormal activity. I could write a book with the number of stories I have, but this one, it was different from all the rest. We lived on a small stretch of secluded highway in a wooded area. Our home was nestled on a few acres of land, and the area surrounding us was federally protected wildlife refuge land. This meant that unless your house was grandfathered in, no one could purchase land or build in this area, so we didn't have any neighbors. Our house was a 300-year-old colonial home with a lot of history. There was knowledge of Native Americans once residing there and many stories about the Civil and Revolutionary Wars taking place on that land. There was definitely a heavy, negative energy in that house and on the property. You always felt like you were being watched from every angle of the woods. Many people who visited would immediately become uneasy, often stating their discomfort and need to leave. My family and I had countless experiences, some of us individually and others together. This particular experience was shared between myself and my two brothers. Like many nights after dinner, my dad would tell one of us to go out back and feed the dog. This was a scary task because it would be pitch black and our dog was kept near the tree line of the woods. That section of the woods always gave us an uneasy feeling, no matter the time of day, but especially at night, it was downright terrifying. So, no matter which one of us was told to feed the dog, we never left a man behind. We always went out in a trio because none of us wanted to go alone. On this particular night, I was probably around 11 years old, with my brothers being 10 and 7. We followed our usual routine. Whoever was told to feed the dog had to carry the bowl, while the other two huddled close, keeping the person with the bowl in the middle. We would walk extremely slowly, all of us looking in different directions to survey the property while keeping our conversations lighthearted and silly to distract ourselves from the fear. When we reached our dog, it was tradition for the person holding the bowl to get pranked. Right before they had a chance to put the bowl down, the other two siblings would scream something like, "Jeepers Creepers," or "The Jersey Devil," and then haul ass back to the house, leaving the bowl holder standing alone before they could even run. On this night, my brother was the one holding the bowl. As we walked toward the backyard, something felt off. The air felt static and charged, like it did before a lightning storm. We could hear our dog barking like crazy, which was unusual. When we got close enough to see him, we saw him standing on his hind legs with the leash pulled completely tight. Whatever he was barking at, he was trying with all his might to break free from the collar and go after it. That's when we heard branches snapping loudly. We looked in the direction which our dog was barking and saw a giant black stick figure as tall as the trees. It was walking over a huge brush pile, which was why we were hearing branches breaking. The way that it moved was almost mechanical, and its presence felt ominous, filling us with a dreadful feeling. At first, it seemed like it didn't notice us and was just walking by, but then it turned toward us, and that's when we bolted for the house. My brother throwing the food bowl into the air. Our legs felt like jello as we ran. We all saw the same thing, and it scared us so badly that, unlike many of the stories that you'll hear, our parents actually believed us. Fast forward years later, I was having a conversation with my coworker about paranormal topics. During the conversation, she asked if I had ever heard of the Native American stick people. Now, I knew what she was referring to as soon as she said it. She told me about giant stick figures that had been seen in the woods that Native Americans supposedly believed were totems of evil spirits. According to her, if you encounter one and it comes after you, it can possess you and cause you to do harm. I was so freaked out, but knowing the Native American history of that land does make me believe that the two are connected.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So what would you do if you were sitting in a tent and some unseen creature just starts shrieking and circling you in the middle of the night?
I probably grab a plane ticket to go literally anywhere else. The fact that he even stepped outside to look for this thing, I wouldn't have been able to make it past the first yip. Way too dangerous and creepy.
Yeah, same here. But I guess what stands out for me the most is the timing. So they're like deep in conversation about spirits and, you know, skinwalkers when it happens in perfect Odd Trails fashion.
We've totally covered this a million times, but it wasn't until we started doing this show that the paranormal started rearing its head into our personal lives, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's just like using a Ouija board. You're really just inviting things in from the other dimension, so to speak, for some sort of party.
Yeah, it's like whatever this thing was, it wanted them to know that it was there, but there weren't any tracks. That's what really gets me. There was fresh snow, but nothing else. That's just something, I don't know. I feel like it's something that would probably scare even the most skilled outdoorsman.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. You got to follow the tracks. Always follow the tracks. like I know. I mean, plus it wasn't like scared off by yelling or the spotlight. Coyotes or wolves don't just hang around like that. At least I don't think. It's hard to just label this some wild animal. Nothing really adds up to point to that, I think.
Yeah, and so many of these reports of, you know, paranormal creatures or I guess entities include this idea of them defying the normal rules of physics and biology. Like, as we mentioned already, they'll make noise but leave no tracks, or they'll be visible for like 1 second and then they're gone the next.
Mm-hmm.
What if this thing wasn't a flesh and blood animal at all? What if it was some kind of manifestation or a projection of something spiritual or interdimensional?
Right. And what if it had been following the friend around, causing their issues and feeding off of that negative energy? People in those fragile states always seem a lot more susceptible to experiencing these sort of things.
Yeah, you're right.
And then there's the idea that this friend might have already been seeing or hearing strange things before this trip. It makes you wonder if the two are connected, maybe?
Mm.
Was this just some one-off event, or was it part of a bigger picture for him?
Yeah. You know, this encounter actually lines up with, you know, some Native American lore from that region. Skinwalkers, for example, they're said to mimic animals, and it's always just kind of off, you know? Like, the sounds are just slightly wrong or exaggerated, or they do it to lure people out.
Yeah, they only appear in specific regions, too, and we'll never really know for sure what the truth is behind the SWs, I shall say. Can't blame those who are in the know for not wanting to put it all out there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that the Navajo Nation isn't exactly jumping at the opportunity for Hollywood to capitalize on their lore.
Yeah, or podcasters for that matter. Who are we? Yeah, wild story though. Those sounds coming from right above the tent. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. I love the camping stories because they just make me feel a bit more vindicated.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That old memory story really made me stop and think about how memories work. Like, do you ever vividly remember something that someone else doesn't, but you know for sure that actually happened, but they're positive it didn't because of this reason?
Yeah, yeah. And it makes me feel crazy, like they're gaslighting me.
Yeah, exactly. I hate that. This story is like that, but times 10. They vividly remember their grandpa fixing stairs so vividly that they can recall the layout of the room, the tools, even pinching themselves on the floorboards. But their mom says it happened before they were born. How does that even happen?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just vague expressions. It's stuff like the signs from... And it wasn't just vague impressions. It's stuff like the signs and bungee cords to block off the stairs, where the furniture was moved, and even how the wood felt under their hands. It doesn't really sound too dreamy to me. I just wonder where such specific memories like that come from.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Have you heard of generational or genetic memory?
Yes, but by all means, do the honors.
Okay, yeah. So for the listeners, it's the idea that certain memories or experiences can be, passed down through DNA, like how animals instinctively know how to migrate or build nests, things like that.
Suck on a nipple type of thing.
Exactly. Suck on a nipple.
Mm-hmm. Natural.
Maybe this is like the human version of that, this ancestral memory of sorts.
But we could also say that the author remembered the events like they were there. It wasn't just some instinctive action, you know? If it's genetic, why would it be so specific?
No, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, this isn't just a general sense of the stairs were fixed. This was something more along the lines of deja vu, but it was impossible for them to have had that experience before they were born.
Yeah, and deja vu is usually just a fleeting feeling, though. Like, oh, I've been here before. I've seen this, and we've talked about before how like the deja vus that last for like 30 seconds to a minute, like it starts
scary.
Really messing with your mind. But yeah, this feels more like the author somehow witnessed the event firsthand, which is where alternate realities or timelines come into play.
What if they're tapping into a version of themselves from another timeline where they were already born when this happened?
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Alternate timelines are always great.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we hear so many stories about people experiencing memories or events that they couldn't have possibly lived through. It makes you wonder if our understanding of time is a lot more flexible than we think.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not as locked into one linear reality as we like to believe, which, by the way, some people pronounce my last name as linear, but whatever. Every time I see linear, it's mildly triggering, but it's okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. And then there's the possibility of pre-birth memories.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started. Love those.
Yeah, it's so cool. People basically claiming to remember things from before they were born, like moments in the womb, or even like spiritual experiences from before they even entered this life. I wonder if the author could have somehow been observing from the womb. Like, don't get me wrong, it's kind of out there, but I don't know, on this show, what isn't?
True. Like everything else. Always worth considering, though. When I was a kid, I used to think that I had a memory of being born, like coming out of the womb, for lack of a better word. but yeah, it was just like peering through this cave of light, and there I was. But I'm sure it was just like some false memory that I had implanted as an imaginative 5-year-old or something.
Yeah. What was your first memory? I don't know if we talked about this.
I think we have, but I know I actually backdated everything accurately with my dad, and it was playing Legos with him, like the old like Duplo sets of a zoo. And I had just turned 2 years old, and I specifically remember playing with that set in the room that I lived in this like townhouse apartment thing in our hometown. And like getting this really big, like oversized balloon. I don't know what they're actually used for. People use them for like whippets and hailing whippets, but I know that's party balloons, you know, the really big ones, you know, back when childhood innocence was a thing. But yeah, I remember coming home from the store and having one of those balloons and having that Lego set. And yeah, sure enough, I had like just turned 2 years old.
Yeah, I can remember being in the crib and looking through the bars. That was my earliest memory. I don't know how old I was. Had to be before 3. But yeah, nothing specific, just looking through the bars. That's it.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything's out there, but always worth considering. There's also the idea of residual energy. I was thinking before I went on that tangent about whippets, but if the grandpa's repairs were a significant event in that house, maybe the author somehow tapped into some kind of psychic playback, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the energy of that moment was still lingering and they were able to access it somehow.
Locations do seem to hold a lot of energy from intense and important events. At least that's what I learned from ghost hunters. It's almost like the house itself had this memory imprinted on it and the author could tune into it like some kind of recording.
Yeah, I always think of slowly cycling through radio stations with the dial, and you occasionally find a station that comes in pretty clearly, but only if the dial is turned very specifically, like 1 nanometer off, and you're done, bud. I just imagine the whole paranormal realm of existence to be on some sort of frequency that's just a couple of decimal points off of our own. So sometimes things can get weird, you know? Just a little bit of overlap kind of happens.
I appreciate you going so analog for that.
Thank you for your words of affirmation.
You're welcome. You know, it's kind of crazy. I think about listening to the radio nowadays, and like I'll put it on if, you know, my phone's not working or something, or if my phone's dead or I don't have service and I can't stream something. I'll put on the radio and I'll be like, who's listening to this? I the only reason I would ever listen to the radio in 2024 or soon to be 2025 is if something wasn't working where I couldn't use my phone.
Weather alerts, that's literally it.
Yeah, exactly. For news that you need to get right away. But even then, you can use your phone because you can access YouTube live. And it's just, why is the radio still making, are they making money on this stuff? What's going on?
That's actually a very good point because I don't know, that would be a hard sell for me for somebody to like, pitch an ad for us like, hey, you should put your we should pitch Odd Trails on a KSFM 98.69. It's no, I think we're good. No, it's only $5 for one ad. No, even so, you know, I can go to Taco Bell for $5, kind of like I'm good.
Yeah. Well, anyways, let's hop into our next topic of discussion.
Hop. Okay, that's my cue. So a 6-foot tall rabbit hopping around in broad daylight. What's up with that?
Yeah.
The imagery, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, really did give me the chills, though. Like, the fact both siblings saw it, that's not something you can just shrug off.
Exactly. Like, it's one thing if one person claims that they saw something, but when two people, especially kids who aren't likely to make up something so specific, both see it, it just makes you stop and think.
In the detail about the rabbit hopping, not walking, that's what gets me. If it were a person in a costume, how could they pull off hopping like that without falling over on their face, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And why would anyone even attempt in the middle of nowhere to do something like that?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of Lynchian. He keeps coming up in these talks of ours, but so many of these stories remind me of David Lynch imagery.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just more proof that Lynch was really tapping into something otherworldly. But that's another conversation. Sorry. But It did make sense for them to think that it could have been their grandpa. But I don't know, that's still just so weird, you know? Like, really think about that.
Yeah, no, that's right. They thought it was their grandpa. That's, I don't know, I don't usually think you're ever too old for whatever, but then you imagine your own grandpa hopping alongside the road in a bunny costume. That really puts things into perspective.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so what's also weird for me is that it happened in a rural area during broad daylight and nobody else was around. It's just not the kind of place that you'd expect something like that to happen.
Right, right. And it's just too elaborate to be a prank, I think.
Yeah.
If someone went through all the trouble of pranking the kids, I think they would have interacted with them a bit more than just looking at them. To go through all that trouble just to be like seen and nothing else.
Yeah, just seen by a couple of kids. Anybody who owns and wears a rabbit costume in general would probably be the type to have some fun with it, I'm guessing. But, you know, who even knows if it was a bunny man?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some sort of variant or a different species, I guess?
Yeah, and you've got your Wendy Walkers and Hank Hoppers of the bunny men.
Yeah, exactly.
Bunny people.
Yeah, bunny people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember hearing about bunny men who hop, though.
I wonder if the bunny man is ever tied to places or if he's no different than the hat man, some kind of recurring phenomenon that seemingly just shows up in different forms, I guess, depending on who's seeing it.
I wouldn't be surprised if we asked that same exact question the first time we ever even talked about bunny man.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Well, anyways, thanks everybody so much for listening. Don't forget to send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com to hear them on the show. And send them in. Just send them in. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever experience that happened to you, just write it out and send it to us. We'll read anything that we get. And if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate, go over to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up and support the show today. And don't forget my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys next time. Everybody stay safe.
Peace out.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.